You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Was Aaron Rodgers that good, or the Falcons D just that bad? And did Ray Lewis have the right to blame the Ravens offense for their loss, for their collapse, actually, that's what I'm going to call it. We'll discuss that in addition to me explaining why Georgetown needs to cancel their Verizon service. This is the Urban Sports
Surprise
Scene. we'll get there. This is the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Ray, a.k.a. Kevin Call, but that's going to be my new name
Kevin
on the
Call?
Show, though. I'll explain. I'm rolling solo with Wally. We're doing this thing sports crib style for those of y'all who tune in on Thursday nights. Shout out to Fish and Will T who can't be here. Will T, we used to that. But Fish, this has been a first for a while. This is my first show of 2011. So,
glad to have you here too, man.
Oh,
glad
yeah, I appreciate it, man. On a serious note, though, I'd like to honor Dr. Martin Luther King, whose hard work, you know, made it possible for us to be doing this show and made our lives much better today.
Yeah, and we're still looking for that leader like Dr. King. But hopefully, you know, we'll find that leader.
Is that a subliminal at like Barack Obama though?
Hey, I mean, no one's Dr. King. It's hard to live up to that persona.
Hey, it is what it is. But I'll actually mention him later in the show too. But did you know why I call myself Kevin Call?
Why?
Because think about it, Will, he was supposed to be the host of this show, so he's McNabb. And, you know, think he was, what happened to him? Why wasn't he the host? Well, the torch was passed to me eventually.
I guess. He froze
somehow.
Up.
Then I got hurt, quote unquote. I missed the show, and then Michael Vick, a.k.a. Fish, he stayed the starter for good, dog. So
no comment about that.
We the Eagles
Michael
right
Vick
now,
and Fish compared together. No comment.
Wow, that's a subliminal. Anyway, we kick off every show with the pregame, and let's start this week with Brett Favre. Brett Favre filed his retirement papers just as the Packers are heading into the NFC Championship without him. Premeditated?
I think so. The Jets, his former teams, are in the championship game, the Jets and the Packers. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. He gets on my nerves. He needed to call his sister up and see what's going on with her. We're not going to mention that today, though. Mike Singletary, he's joining Washington's most beloved coach, Jim Zorn, in the Hall of Shame from a head coach to a position coach. He was hired today by the Minnesota Vikings as the linebackers
pathetic.
Coach.
Just pathetic. From like you said, from a head coach to a position coach, not even a coordinator. I know he feels ashamed of himself right now.
Hugh Jackson was named the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. And again, to speak to the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, look at all the African-American coaches in the NFL, and they've come a long way.
Yeah, we have an opportunity to get one in the Super Bowl in, what's his name, Bears coach, Lovie Smith. So, yeah, and Mike Tomlin, too. So, yeah, obviously. We can get two in the Super Bowl. That'd be a good look.
Yeah, I want the Jets to go. Daggone.
Everyone wants to see Rex Ryan on, you know, and during the Super Bowl pressers and whatnot, they want to see him on Super Bowl week.
Not really. I mean, we've seen the Steelers win two Super Bowls in the last decade. I would rather see the Jets go and get that opportunity. I wouldn't mind seeing the Packers win. Anyway, we'll get to NFL talk in a second. Let's finish up the pregame. Brandon Roy has surgery on his knees. Is his career done?
No, I think finally he gets an opportunity. He's getting surgery, and hopefully he can rest out for the whole season. Do not come back during this season because I think he ruined his. He damaged his future by playing with a torn meniscus not too long ago, and that's why he's suffering today.
Yeah, he's first team all Mike Golick. Mike Golick said that was what ruined his career. He played through an injury in college, messed him up. Last thing to note though in the pregame, Carmelo Anthony refusing to speak with the Nets right now. I'm confused at the whole situation as to where it's going, what's going to happen.
Like, I don't get why Melo wants to leave Denver. And definitely for like the Nets, who are perennial losers. In Denver, you have an opportunity to win some games, and the Nets are losers. I don't think they've done anything since Dr. J left. I'm sorry, Jason Kidd too. My apologies.
Hey, I actually like Jason Kidd. I like Dr. J. I don't like the comparison you just made.
Hey,
but anyway, we'll get back to the NBA later, including making our picks for who's gonna go hard in the paint, which is our most popular segment.
No, I'm skipping.
But for now, let's move on to a more depressing subject for me, the NFL playoffs. Our production manager, who is you,
Yeah, I know. That's true.
Clearly targeted me, though.
No, I just put an order, you know, to the NFC.
By putting this game first. No,
It's the order of how the game started.
We're going to start with the Packers and Falcons. I almost said the Palkers.
Yeah.
The Packers and Falcons, which obviously I'm a Falcon fan, so I was hurt. So I'm going to start off.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
In my opinion, the loss was 90% defense and 10% offense. The Falcons missed too many sacks. And how hard is it to stop a one-dimensional team? I told everybody on the sports crib they couldn't run the ball. And they proved me right. The Packers were smart to pick on Chris Owens, too, who needs to take Deion's number off. That pisses me off that he was wearing 21. Every highlight you watch, he was behind the receiver running. Did he make any tackles? I don't even remember. Not having Brian Williams hurt us. He can play both corner and safety. He's a backup safety, but he was going to start that game because the Packers, they run a spread offense. It's so much that can be said, in my opinion. But giving up sacks, turnovers, penalties, that's something that didn't happen for us during the regular season. They weren't issues. And although the first game against the Packers, we did give up a bunch of yards, over 400 yards, we got turnovers. We didn't do that this game. We didn't get any. Well, we did get the first turnover,
yeah.
Which was lucky, actually, with Greg Jennings fumbling. What did I want to say next? Mike Smith. Like I said, there's a whole lot of things I can say. Mike Smith, he's not a motivator. I put this on Twitter. Nobody responded. He's a good coach. He's emotional, but he's not a motivator. Like, they didn't come out in the second half like I thought they would. It pissed me off. To clarify why I said 10% offense is because the play to beat Tampa and be more where Matt Ryan rolled out through the pass, they knew that was coming. It was clear to the Packers, and they were prepared for it, as you saw. And that was just deflating for me as a fan, and as I know for the team, it was deflating. They need to learn from this to prepare a better game plan. You can't run the same exact plays in the playoffs. The Patriots came out. You saw their first drive, even though it ended with no points, or maybe 3 points.
3 points.
They mixed it up. It's evident that we're not a playoff team yet. We're not used to it. That like I said, that turnover hurt. Mike Smith needs to work on things himself, preparing the team from a speaking standpoint. He came out in the second half saying, "We just need to get sacks." He's like North Turner to me.
Wow.
But he shows emotion.
Oh, okay.
He's a nice guy. I mean, he's not going to get in your face. He's not Bill Parcells. You know what I'm saying? So he's an encouraging guy. I will say that I like him. The formula has worked, but we'll see. What's your take?
Well, my take was, you know, it's more of a particular situation in the game that happened that I thought changed the momentum of the game. It wasn't the actual interception the second interception by Tremont Williams that he took to the house. It's the first interception he had when he had Michael Jenkins wide open for a touchdown Matt Ryan had Michael Jenkins wide open for a touchdown. And I felt like, you know, he looked at that safety too long, and he had Jenkins open for that touchdown because, you know, they were driving to score a field goal or a touchdown. I think if they don't turn the ball over there and get points out of that situation, I think it would be a totally different game because I think with that turnover, the Green Bay took that turnover and scored a touchdown. So Aaron Rodgers took that turnover and took advantage of it. So I just think in terms of momentum, that first pick changed the whole course of the game.
Yeah, you don't think the defense missed too many
sacks?
Well,
I think they went after – obviously, they missed – I mean Abraham's missed a sack. I know I noticed that one. He missed a couple sacks. But I think that, you know, they knew what they were going against. They're going against Aaron Rodgers. He's a good quarterback in a dome situation. Matt Ryan and the Falcons offense, for the most part, other than turnovers, if you think about those turnovers in the first half, they were going toe-to-toe with that offense. Honestly, they are moving the ball up and down the field. You saw Michael Turner, like he can get some traction. They had a good game plan. I'm telling you, if they didn't turn the ball over that first time, if they didn't turn the ball over and got like 3 points or even got that touchdown, it'd be a totally different game. And even that interception that you mentioned, if Tremont Williams doesn't take it to the house, they're still in that game. That totally took them out of the game, period.
It's a whole lot of ifs, but 14-7 after Eric Weems returned that kickoff, you got to get a stop right there. They converted every third down.
Yeah.
They didn't punt. You can't win like that.
But like you said, they scored a touchdown to tie it up. But what happened? Atlanta took the ball to length of the, they took it all the way to Packers territory, had an opportunity, honestly. A couple of fluke, I think, sacks and whatever, but they still had an opportunity to score a touchdown out of that situation, but Matt Ryan missed them late. I look at it like this. Matt Ryan is going to be a great quarterback, But at this moment in time, I don't think that, I mean, I think the game got big, got too big for him.
Probably like so. That pick, that first pick did hurt even more than the second one, maybe equal. Yeah. I totally agree with you. Matt Ryan, to me, is in a class of his own. A lot of times they compare him and Flacco, which is not fair. Flacco should be compared with Roethlisberger. They went to more established organizations. Just to make a long story short, this is not rock bottom for the Falcons. Rock bottom was Petrino and that whole Vic situation. Hopefully they can grow and learn from it, but I expect the Redskins, even the Cardinals, who else? Detroit. A lot of these teams to come back better. It's going to be harder to make the playoffs in the NFC whenever the next season is. Hopefully we'll get an NFL season next year. But real quick, Aaron Rodgers, great performance. About, what, 5 incompletions. I'm not going to ask you what do you think. I'm going to say, again, we had to hit him. Just letting him sidestep. I mean, he was using the Jimmy Clausen move to sidestep our pass rush. And on the Falcons side of the ball, I want to add real quick, because I forgot. We didn't give up sacks during the season. Our offensive line is good, even though none of them made the Pro Bowl, which kind of irked me. But 7 Pro Bowlers. Now we can get to Aaron Rodgers. We all knew Aaron Rodgers was good going this game. It wasn't a shock the way he performed. To me, it doesn't – like, I heard people saying he's now in the class of Brady and Manning. How?
No, I don't agree with that.
After 2 playoff wins.
Now, you know, I always said, you know, from prior shows, I've always said that the media has anointed this man top honors in terms of all quarterbacks in this league and putting him in the Peyton Mannings and Drew Brees and Tom Brady class, but he's not – I don't think he's not in that list, but I do think that this win truly has put him in a class close to that list. I think this playoff run, not even just this win, this playoff run, because I think before then, what has he truly accomplished? Before this year, what has he truly accomplished? 1 playoff appearance, they lost. He didn't get to the playoffs the year before that. So what has he truly accomplished? I think that this run, he's actually accomplished something. So he can now be talked about amongst good young quarterbacks to me who has done things in this league, like even the Phillip Rivers and even Joe Flacco's, you know, because they've done something in the postseason. Now he can be talked about in terms of that class, but he's not going to be in that class of Manning and Brees, Manning, Brady, and Brees, because they've won championships.
Eventually he will. He has a good opportunity to win a championship this year. I don't think them losing in the playoffs or not making the playoffs was his fault. He had a bad offensive line 1 year. The defense couldn't stop Kurt Warner in the second year. I'm just glad he's getting an opportunity. I like Aaron Rodgers. It sucks that he put my squad out. But the Falcons will grow from here. Let's move on. Seahawks, Bears.
Oh, in terms of that game, sorry, I was surprised you gave me the ball on this one, sir. The Bears played with balance. You know what I mean? They ran the ball for 176 yards, net total, and they threw the ball for a net total of 261 yards. So Mike Marks didn't put it all on Jay Cutler's shoulder, per se. I think Jay Cutler was like 15 for 28, and he threw for 2 touchdowns, and he ran for 2 touchdowns as well. So they didn't put it all on Jay Cutler, which was Fish's, I believe that was Fish's whole thing. He thought that Mike Marks would give Jay Cutler the reins, and he would just go crazy, and it didn't happen. They used Forte. Forte had 25 carries, had 80 yards off of it. So, I mean, even though Jay Cutler did have, you know, situations where he looked like he was going to be Jay Cutler, but Seattle dropped a couple of picks. So, but all in all, it was a good game plan by the Bears.
I sit on the Sports Crib, which comes on Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern. WC still a fan, Blog Talk Radio. We'll get there later. That Greg Olsen was going to be a huge part of the game plan. Look what happened.
Yes, you did. First, and I was on that show, too. Yes,
first
you did.
First play of the game, he caught that touchdown. He ended up with over 100 yards receiving on three receptions. What's really helped, like I said, their receiving core is mediocre, and this is why I'm going to pick the Packers. We'll get there, though, later on when they play in the NFC Championship. But the Bears, they played the Seahawks, man. They got a lucky draw, in my opinion. Jay Cutler didn't have to do much.
Yeah, it's like Oklahoma playing UConn in a BCS bowl. Got lucky. Played the right team.
Yeah, I mean, they were at home, too. Home field advantage for them makes a big difference. You saw them beat the Eagles at home. When they go on the road, they lose to the Giants, who lost to the Eagles twice.
But the Bears have a solid defense. That's one thing about the Bears. They have a solid defense. They're led by Brian Urlacher, who's been there before. Honestly, they got a couple of individuals who were in that Super Bowl not too long ago. So the Bears, and they do match up well against the Packers, which I will get to later.
All right. I'm going to say the Saints would have beat the Bears in Soldier Field. I don't think that's where they play at still.
Yeah, they wouldn't. I know I was thinking that the same. I was writing my notes. I was thinking, was it still called Soldier Field? But the Saints wouldn't beat the Bears. Not at all. They're not a good outdoor team. The Seahawks beat them. Obviously, the Bears probably could have beat them.
They more or less surprised the Saints, and the game was in Seattle, which kind of is hurting my point right now. I don't like the Bears. Put it that way. I don't really think that the Bears are respectable. They go to Super Bowl, they're going to lose to whoever they play. And Tom Brady went in and waxed them in Soldier Field a couple weeks ago.
Different situation.
Hey, well, that was our NFC recap. And we'll recap the AFC playoff games, which were a lot more interesting than NFC, in my opinion.
Yeah,
when we come back from commercial break, this is the Urban Sports Scene, Ray and Wally rolling solo.
Urban Sports Scene.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge, when we see people serving their country and one another. Volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines. And the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Ravens versus Steelers. I was messing with Ryan Burton on Twitter. He's a Ravens fan. Asking him how they lose that game. You know, it felt like they were teased. They thought they had the game. Fans, Ravens, the Ravens themselves. What happened? How they lose?
Well, they lost. I mean, because the offense kept turning the ball over. I believe the Ravens were at Havel up 21-7. Then all of a sudden, Ray Rice fumbled the ball. Then, you know, Roethlisberger takes advantage of that. Then Flacco throws a pick to Ryan Clark. Roethlisberger throws a touchdown pass to Hines Ward. Then it's tied up. So obviously, I mean, for some strange reason, the Ravens don't know how to close a game. Period. They had the same situation against the Patriots. They didn't close. They had the same situation against the Steelers in Baltimore and couldn't close either. So as a team, they don't know how to close a game.
Do they deserve to be called choke artists?
Yes, indeed.
I mean, after one loss?
Not one loss. Look at the pattern during the regular season. Look at the pattern. They've choked on a number of games. They've had one easily. That Patriots game, everybody thought they had that game in the bag. They let the Patriots win that game.
Regular season and postseason are two different things. I've learned that clear this year.
That's true. But if you have shown consistently in one year to give up games, postseason or regular season, you're still a choke artist.
You might be able to put that on Cam Cameron then, because he could have watered the game plan down and been conservative.
He could have. No, he could have. Honestly, you're right, but I wouldn't put it on him. Those players made the mistake. He put Ray Rice.
It's a good
never
defense.
Fumbles. Yeah,
it's a good defense.
But Ray Rice had an easy line. He held the ball up wide. He didn't keep it to his body. He fumbled. He never fumbles, but he was negligent for that moment.
Why couldn't it be the Steelers defense making a play versus Ray?
Because
Rice
they didn't make plays. It was bad. It was like the pass to Todd Heat was overthrown. Todd Heat was wide open. He was wide open. Flacco overthrew him. The bobbled snap. I mean, that play was just like an accidental play. It's nothing Cam Cameron did.
To your point though, they're in Pittsburgh, and how do you earn home field advantage? You got to play well during the regular season. So they win some of these games you're talking about. They would have been at home, which would have made a big difference.
Yeah,
I believe the Ravens would have won that game. Although the Steelers in the regular season did beat them in Baltimore.
Yeah.
But the Steelers showed that they can overcome turnovers. The Ravens didn't. Did the Ravens defense, particularly Ray Lewis, have the right to blame his offense? I'm going to say no, he didn't have the right. I don't care who you are. Ray Lewis, he might be respected, but I'm going to compare him to London Fletcher. They both have one Super Bowl. They play the same position. That's why I'm comparing the two. I'm not saying Ray
status,
Lewis.
A true status. They're not a true status.
If they both retired this year, I believe Ray Lewis will probably go in the Hall of Fame before him. But London Fletcher, in my eyes, is a Hall of Famer himself. Based on his Tebow status, he's a good guy. And
he has good numbers. He puts up good numbers, too.
Exactly. I know he doesn't make Pro Bowls. But he played on a 4-12 football team under Jay-Z in his last year. Jim's on speaking of. And, Jay-Z, that's what John Thompson used to call him. He could have thrown his offense under the bus after every game because the defense played their heart out the year the Redskins went 4-12, but he didn't. They were, Brian Mitchell, all the guys on the local in the local media here would try to force out of them. Don't you think the offense needs to step up? No, it's a team effort. It's a total team effort. And he rubbed off on Brian Arakpo. He's a true leader. To me, Ray Lewis, he's a leader, emotional leader as far as, you know, he gets the defense hype. But Ed Reed can be considered a leader on that defense, too. Well, Terrell Suggs can be a leader. They have a bunch of leaders. The Redskins don't have that. And London Fletcher showed the rest of the guys on the team, Landry, the younger guys, how to be a leader. And you don't throw your offense under the bus. It's a team game.
Well, you bring a valid point to the table because you bring a valid point to the table. I ain't gonna lie.
Thought you would disagree with me.
Though when I came into the game, I ain't gonna lie. When I came into it and looked at the notes that I had and things that, so I came up thinking like, yeah, man, offense gave up 3 turnovers, man. It is what it is. The defense didn't put them in positions for them to fail. But I look at it like this though: if you were down, Ray Lewis, and I'm just gonna harp on this, even though I do kind of think that it's the offense's fault, I'll say this much in terms of. For Flacco to use this as devil's advocate, you might turn the ball over, but a great defense, if you consider yourself a great defense, and which Ray Lewis does, consider his team having a great defense, they stop him.
Stop him. That's true, too.
You know what I mean? Because it wasn't as if that team was – the turnover occurred at the 10-yard line. It didn't occur at the 10-yard line. It didn't. It occurred, like, near midfield. And That Steelers defense took it the length, well, whatever you want to call it, from the 50-yard line or and a little bit below for a touchdown. So they drove on them, regardless of what it is. They drove on them and got a touchdown.
I agree, and this is not the first time that the Ravens defense had thrown the offense under the bus. Ed Reed did it early, before the Houston Texans game, and then look what Houston did. Drove up and down the field on them. Now, the defense did end up getting an interception to win that game, but still, the Texans, I believe, had their best game offensively. But I could be wrong on that, but I think Matt Schaub individually had his best performance against the Ravens.
But I'll say this, though. Yeah, I mean, they do have a gripe. I won't knock it. They do got a gripe because, they turned the ball over 3 times. If you don't turn the ball over 3 times, basically like 3 times straight, you do have the right to blame. You do have the right to blame your offense to a certain extent. But I'm just going off with, like, Ray, how proud he is. If he's so proud of his defense, they stop him.
Hey, Rex Ryan was the ex-defensive coordinator for the Ravens. And he led his Jets into Foxborough for a victory, which we predicted, both of us.
Yes, we did.
Against the odds on the Sports Crib, which, again, you can catch on blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. What are your thoughts of the game?
Well, it was great, man. I thought that in this game was won on defense by the Jets, man. They sacked Brady 5 times. And he finally threw an interception, which we haven't seen, like, in years, it seems. Then you look at it. Man, Sean Ellis played his butt off. I mean, he was in the backfield, like, nonstop. I think he had 2 sacks. And he was in Brady's face, like, 9 times out of 10, I swear.
To sidetrack real quick, I always compare you to Algie Crumpler. You know, check his picture out on
I'm a little slimmer now.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying, but what did you think about him walking?
Hey, Algie had speed, baby. Algie looked like he was fast again, man. I know on this Madden they have him a lot slower, but I think they should hype his speed back up on the internet. So they need to hype him up, increase his speed up, because Algie looked like he about a good 85 rating on speed.
He looked like LeVar Kirkland on that play, man.
I swear, man. I swear.
To change gears though, we're a podcast. We're striving to be a big time show, ESPN, wherever. Put us on a big market. But I was listening to the BS Report, which is a podcast I look up to. And they made a comparison. Well, they didn't make a comparison. I'm sorry. It was Cousin Sal was on the show. And he said he thinks Rex Ryan purposely put out these fake foot fetish videos to throw off the Patriots. And it worked because Wes Walker ended up coming out making a reference, got benched. And he feels like the whole trash talk and that whole video, that whole controversy, he did that purposely to take focus off his team and to throw off the opposition.
I'm gonna hit the ESPN Monday Night Crew thing, man. Come on, man. Really? That's what he's really saying? That, because that was premeditated. He did that a while ago. For him to put that in and say,
it's a long-term plan. He did say to Tomlin after that game.
He must be more thorough than Osama bin Laden.
He said to Mike Tomlin after that game when they beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, he said, we'll play again. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I don't think that had anything to do with anything. But, I mean, benching Wes Welker for a series, whoop-de-doo. I've always said Wes Welker is the most overrated wide receiver in the NFL in terms of who gets popularity. But that's neither here nor there. The Jets came in there. They won that game. They took it.
Hey, you're the analyst on this show. Did the Jets defense confuse Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
Yes, indeed. They confused them with dropping down in coverage, not blitzing as much. You can see Tom Brady held the ball for a while. There were moments where the Jets didn't get any pressure. And Tom Brady had days to throw the ball and couldn't find anybody wide open and threw him off. It threw him off. And then, you know, when they did put pressure on him, he panicked.
Bar Scott, he said that the Patriots defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. Look what they're ranked 25th. It's funny. I mean, they're ranked 25th, but everybody talks about going into this game that the Patriots defense is that much improved. They're 25th. How much improved are they?
It's more of a Bill Belichick thing than a defense being improved. Bill Belichick got his team ready to play, and Rex Ryan, he disagrees with you. He said he was still outcoached, but he said the players made the plays on the field.
And Rex Ryan said that after the fact. We all know what Rex Ryan really feels. He feels that he outcoached Bill Belichick. It is what it is. He outcoached them. They didn't know what to do when they didn't blitz them. They didn't know what to do. You can see it. They even tried to come back after half and make a little adjustments. Then Rex Ryan came and put more pressure on them. Matter of fact, Rex Ryan he flipped the script so bad that when they got, instead of going on third and short, he wouldn't blitz. But on third and long, he would blitz. He flipped the whole game on them.
It could be an ongoing debate. I understand this. But I kind of disagree with you there. Maybe we can get back to that if we have some time left at the end of the show. We know the Jets won the game. We know the Jets. It was a big win for the organization. The Patriots are their rivals. You see the trash talk is already toned down after the game is over with. So were they classes in their celebration? I'm going to quickly say no, because Tom Brady, look at the way they are. They did the whole airplane thing. The Jets, hey, they deserve to talk trash. Now, they are grown professional men, which makes it kind of funny. But at the end of the day, they're competitors. And, hey, as a competitor myself and as a 30-year-old man, I would have done the same thing. I love to celebrate, talk trash. There's nothing wrong with it. I hate the fact that Sean Green got a penalty when he laid down on the ball.
You're talking about what's his name? Not Sean Green.
Yeah, Sean Green. It's Sean Green. My bad. He ran that touchdown, and he used the ball as a prop. I know a rule is a rule, though.
Oh, that's the dumbest little rule in the world. I mean, that deserved no penalty.
Patriots fans were so arrogant, too. Patriots organization was arrogant outside of Belichick. And, like, Belichick is a very humble guy. I ain't gonna lie. I don't necessarily like him, but he's humble. He always says, we got things to work on. Even at the blowouts, he didn't give his team.
He's humble?
He didn't give his team. He didn't give his team much credit. After that 45-3 victory, he came in the locker room and pointed out what we did wrong. He always does that.
He's humble to what extent? What would you say how humble he is? Because he did blow out teams and. If he was so humble, back in the day when they were going perfect, we're going 16-0, he wasn't acting very humble.
He's a teacher.
That man is arrogant.
He's a teacher.
He's a hustler, man. He's a hustler.
He's a teacher.
He's the ultimate hustler, man. But, like, to your point, that wasn't classless, man. Like you said, the Patriots, when they beat them 45-3, we saw nothing but subliminal jabs at the Jets. For real, subliminal. And, you know, the media out there wants to play it off like they weren't being – arrogant about that. The Patriots being very arrogant about that butt whooping they put on the Jets weeks ago. And if I was the Jets, you darn Skippy, I come in there and do all kinds of signs, doing cartwheels, backflips, everything like Brandon Edwards did. I would have been like that. For Deion Branch to be complaining about calling him classless and things of that sort, you are a poor sport. Your leader, Tom Brady, was like giving it to the sidelines when the Patriots were beating them 45-3.
Yeah, Deion Branch was talking trash the whole game.
Yeah, to Rex Ryan.
It hurts.
It hurts.
It
yeah.
hurts. It sucks.
It hurts to lose to somebody you thought you were going to beat. That's what it is.
I can't imagine being in his shoes, because after the Packers Falcons game, I was watching Aaron Rodgers with a little smirk on his face. Greg Jennings and Donald Driver, who are classy guys, were smiling on the side. They were having fun. They were laughing at Michael Jenkins when they said, "You dropped the ball on that challenge." I was frustrated sitting at home. I know Deion Branch, that was frustration talking, because Wes Welker was classy and saying, "Hey, look, they beat us. Bottom line, it's no excuses." Tom Brady, he looked like, you know, he had the deer in the headlights. Look like he didn't know what hit him. It was good to see that, but we know the Jets moved on. So let's move on ourselves to the NFC and AFC championship games this weekend. We'll start on the NFC side, Packers, Bears. Can the Bears' defense control Aaron Rodgers is the first question.
Well, I'll say this. You know, in the two matchups they played against the Bears, Aaron Rodgers threw for 316 yards and 229 in the last game. But the Bears' defense in both games, they limited him to a touchdown in both games, and he threw a pick in both of those games. So what I look at it is that the Bears' defense, I don't think they'll totally shut down Aaron Rodgers, but I do think they'll contain him, and I can see them, you know, using that cover two to get turnovers. And look at Julius, and Julius Peppers will be a big player in that game.
All right, I'll say my thoughts. What should the Bears or Packers do to win the game?
I think the Bears should do is stick to the same game plan. Don't keep it simple, stupid. That's all I gotta say about Mike Marsh. Just keep it simple. Give the ball to Forte. Run play action off that. The Packers defense gives up an average about 4.5 yards a game usually. So you have an opportunity to run the ball. Use play action off that and find, like you said, find Olsen, because you get Olsen out there, because Charles Woodson is still going to be around, for, like, you know, playing basically safety or blitz or whatever. You can find Olsen. Olsen will be out there and have an opportunity to catch some passes. Now, in terms of the Packers, though, what the Packers should do against the Bears is use balance. They've done a good job of keeping balance. They should spread them out, too, as well with those wide receivers, because they're deep at wide out.
I'm going to say don't be intimidated when it comes to the Bears. And you know why? They wanted the Packers out of there. They played their stars that last game. They didn't want to see the Packers. They can say it's great. It comes down to two NFC North teams. No, you didn't want to see them. And they know the Packers don't respect their receivers.
The Packers need that game more than the Bears did. And they only beat them 3-10. That's the way I look at it. They wanted it more. The Bears had a spot. All regardless, right. They did want
What's
to beat
the
them.
First number you said? 3.
3-10.
Exactly. They can't score.
No. On the Packers. But they didn't need it. It's not like you're not going to show that
so
much.
So why play your starters then?
No, to give them warm-up, give them work. But they didn't need it more than the Packers. If I wanted something more than you, look, if I wanted something more than you, you're going to work harder than me. If I'm already content, if I already got a spot, why would I work that much harder than you?
Time out. If Matt Forte, Jay Cutler, any starter for that matter, tears the ACL that game, Lovie Smith, why are you playing your stars? Because we wanted to win that game and get rid of a talented football team.
They did. But you know what? They played at Green Bay and they held them down. They played them at Green Bay and held them down 3-10. I mean, it's still 3-10 regardless for a team that need to get into the playoffs. A team that already had a spot locked up.
The game this weekend will speak for itself. We'll make our predictions in 1 second. We love Twitter, Urban Sports Scene. Check us out on Twitter. Ryan Grant posted some comments. Was it bulletin board material? I didn't see the comments, so I'll let you speak to it.
No, basically he said that Packer fans, you'll look like you'll see us in the Super Bowl. But I think he did that right after the Atlanta game. So I don't think it's true bulletin board material. The Bears can try to use it that way, but it's not in the truest sense to me bulletin board material.
Well, I'm going to say it is for the simple fact that the Packers treat everything as bulletin board material. Ovi Mahaley, who...
You mean the Bears?
Yeah, no, the Packers.
They
they post stuff in their locker room. Donald Driver took some quotes from Ovi Mahaley and put it up in the locker room. When Ovi Mahaley came out, he made general comments about what the Falcons were going to do and how he was confident. But who cares about Ovi Mahaley, personally?
Exactly.
I think a lot of people listening to the show probably like, is who?
Yeah, he's a fullback. I was saying that, too.
He's a fullback, whatever. He's a fullback for the Falcons.
I'm not joking. I was saying who?
Anyway, he's the fullback for the Falcons. I'm going to make my prediction first on this game, Packers-Bears. I'm going to go with the Packers. The Packers' defense is too good for the Bears' offense, bottom line.
I'm going to go with the Bears. The Bears are at home. The defense is one of the best defenses in the NFL, which people have forgotten. And I think Brian Urlacher is going to be a beast in this game. And you'll see Lance Briggs and Julius Peppers. They got him for this reason alone, to come up big in big games. And I can only go off of what I've seen Julius Peppers in Carolina and big games he came to play.
Who runs a 3-4 better than the Packers right now? We'll move on, though. Aha, the Jets versus Steelers. What can the Steelers or the Jets take away from their matchup in week 15 for the AFC Championship game? Reason why I sit there like that, because I know you probably want to argue.
It's okay,
but BJ Raji, Clay Matthews, I'm loving them, man. Jess Dillis, what can they take away from that first matchup? I'm going to quickly say nothing. Regular season, as we've seen, Packers, Falcons, I'm going to keep referencing that daggone game. It doesn't mean a whole lot. The Jets are the better team, bottom line, and the Jets are going to win this game. I know I'm giving my prediction early.
Okay.
We'll break it down here, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I asked you this question. You know who was missing from that game, that Jets-Steelers game?
Palomalu?
Exactly.
So
they're not the better team. That doesn't prove anything. Palomalu's playing this game. And, you know, the Steelers showed is that they can run the ball on the Jets defense in that game. Mendel Hall had 99 yards with only 17 carries. Steelers are the better team. I'm sorry.
Jim Leonard was missing in that game.
He's not playing this game either.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is they were missing players too. They were always missing.
But who's more valuable, Palomalu or Leonard? Because Palomalu is probably going to be the defensive MVP of the league. Why Leonard and Palomalu?
It wasn't about what the Jets offense did to the Steelers defense.
The Steelers, the Jets, all the Jets did.
It was about the turnovers that all the Jets Steelers
did.
Had
all the Jets
turned into points.
All the Jets did. Honestly, was had that big pump, that big kickoff return for a touchdown, which pretty much gave them momentum.
There you go.
That's
so,
it.
So defense and
Brad Smith probably won't even play.
The defense had nothing to do with it.
But Troy Polamalu is a big point in that defense. He is the playmaker on defense. It's like the Ravens brought Ed Reed. Ed Reed came in before that. You know, they weren't getting picks. Ed Reed had ended with eight picks.
Why were the Ravens up 21-7? Because the offense made mistakes.
Why would the Ravens? Yeah, that's true. I argue that.
So if the offense makes mistakes,
but you know what?
The Jets can win
the
that
Jets
game.
You know what, though? Sanchez is not going to score. It's not going to do anything against that Pittsburgh Steelers defense. And just like at the first, just like the first game, how are they going to get their points if they don't run the ball? You're going to have to just worry about creating turnovers against Pittsburgh. That's not an all-around team. Let me tell you what the Steelers have, what the Jets don't have. Steelers can score, throwing the ball. They can run the ball and they play good defense. The Jets can only play good defense and throw the ball. I mean, run the ball. The Steelers are best at stopping the run.
If the Steelers win, the key is going to be Heath Miller. Revis, I'm predicting he will shut down Mike Wallace. Cromartie,
is he fast enough?
Maybe not, but it's the scheme.
That's true.
What did Naomi Austin want to say? That scheme is so good that they just run that Revis doesn't have to cover people one on one.
That's true.
But Cromartie against Hinesworth. Hinesworth is a possession guy. Hinesworth disappears in games. They have no receivers.
They're deep. They are. I know they do have receivers. They can go four deep in wide receiver. You see Sanders play.
They have no offensive line.
Sanders played a big role on that team. Sanders plays a big role on that team.
If Heath Miller steps up, they can win the
they
game.
Can,
they can. Win
they
the
can
game.
Play. They can play good with Sanders. They can play good with. What's his name? Randall L. They go deep.
Oh gosh, there's a real risk. Right. On the flip side, Braylon Edwards. Who's gonna cover him?
I love Braylon, so you know I ain't gonna say anything.
Who's gonna cover Braylon?
Well, Braylon had a good game against them first time.
Exactly.
100 yards.
Who's gonna cover him?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Braylon's a beast. Who gonna throw
him?
Who's gonna throw him the ball? Who's gonna throw him the ball?
Mark Sanchez did it this week.
Against who?
In the playoffs, Mark Sanchez record is
25. The 20. And what did he do last year in the playoffs?
He got to the AFC Championship.
And what happened?
He's in his second year.
What happened? What happened?
Look at the quarterback you're hyping, Big Ben. Big Ben.
How many Super Bowls does Big Ben have?
He's been playing longer.
How many?
Two.
All right. How many did he have within the first
three
years?
Did he win his first year or second year?
He won second year.
Exactly. Where's Sanchez? His second year.
No. But Big Ben was more. Big Ben, in terms of passing, was way accelerated than what Sanchez is right now. Sanchez is still a babysitter. There's no change from Sanchez from last year to this year. There's no change. It's the same quarterback. He hasn't gotten better. He's the same exact quarterback. It's not like he's not manipulating safeties. He's not throwing for 300 yards. He's not barely getting to 200 yards. He's the same quarterback.
Dude, no matter what Sanchez does, if he throws for 160, 170, those are big yards for Mark
Sanchez. Sanchez is not the key to this team. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they take away the run, what is Sanchez going to do? That's my question. What is he going to do?
He has the receivers.
And so you're telling me, basically, the only way the Jets can win this game, this is what you're telling me, is they have to force turnovers to win this game. That's what you're telling me. Because they're not running the ball on this team.
No, it comes down to field position. If they shut the Steelers down on offense, which they're perfectly capable of doing,
which they didn't really do that well last game, the Steelers did basically still drove the ball every once in a while. I think they scored 17 points. They didn't shut it down. I'm just telling you, what is this? If this Jets defense does not create turnovers, what are they going to do to beat this team?
If they don't create turnovers,
like
I said, you stop them. You get good field position. You make it manageable for Mark Sanchez. You don't ask him to do a whole lot. You don't ask him to drive 80 yards. You ask him to drive 50 yards.
But how do you do that?
You stop him. Like I said, you don't let him sustain drives.
I'm agree with you on this point. If the Jets create turnovers, which is a theme in all playoffs, if they create turnovers, they can win this game. If they don't create turnovers, I'm to be honest with you, if they don't create turnovers, there's no way they win this game.
All right, we'll see. So you're going to the Steelers?
Going to Steelers.
All right. I'm going to go with the Jets. I'm not even going. I don't care really, to be honest with you. I'm going to go with the Jets, though, just because I'm arguing for them. We look forward to the rest of the NFL playoffs, and the reality is after this, after these next 3 weeks, the NFL is over for how long, we don't know, which means we're going to have to turn our focus on to basketball. So we'll start with college after commercial break. And quick question, do you still see phone booths around in any areas?
Do I?
Do you use a payphone in a phone booth?
I haven't seen one. I haven't paid attention to it.
Exactly, because there aren't many around, and they're clearly outdated. Evidently, Georgetown doesn't know that, though. So I'll explain that what I mean by that when I come back. When we come back, I'm sorry.
Dang.
It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Narcissist. See ya.
It's the Urban Sports Scene. Wally and Ray holding it down, man. Solo.
According to Ray, it's just Ray. Urban Sports Scene.
Besides being NBA champions, what do Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott share in common? Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you healthy moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. During their basketball careers, both Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott battled kidney disease and returned to the game after getting transplants. Although they share a unique story, there's nothing unique about kidney disease in our African-American community. We are disproportionately affected by kidney failure, and for some patients, kidney transplantation may be the best treatment option that allows them to live much like they did before their kidneys failed. But here's the problem. The number of organs donated by our community is low, which means it's hard to match kidney donors and recipients. To learn more about kidney donation, visit organdonor.gov or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more healthy moments.
You can hear the Urban Sports Scene on WallyO.podbean.com if you're listening on Podbean. That's our version of ESPN. ESPN2 is iTunes. Because you can also catch the show there, like SportsCenter. And ESPN Classic, that's YouTube right there, dog. We got all our old shows up there. Check out some classic episodes. Episode 10, we on Marlboro Pike. Episode 5, that was the Avery Johnson episode, man. We had some good classic episodes. Check us out. Search us on Facebook and Twitter, just plug in Urban Sports Scene. You can also email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You got any questions, suggestions, whatever, hit us up.
And also, you can listen to Fish and Will on Apple G's radio show every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. The show is hosted by Vivian and Coach. And another note, you know, you can catch me and Ray on the Sports Crib podcast every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler fan. This is a show hosted by Jersey Mike Jr., West Coast Steeler fan.
Hey, shout out to Jersey Mike, because he was putting some comments on Twitter about being a huge boxing fan. I respect people like Jersey Mike and Will T, but boxing is awful right now. I was watching some clips of Evander Holyfield because they're hyping his fight coming up.
Yeah,
you know it's on pay-per-view?
.com?
Yeah, you know it's on pay-per-view?
What? The fight he has next?
Yeah, Evander Holyfield's next fight is on pay-per-view.
What, HBO Showtime version?
I don't know.
Oh,
what
not,
channel is
it? Oh, it's probably some weak joint, some off-brand one. It's probably some off-brand thing.
Oh, my God. It's like extreme.
Because he fights some.
It's like extreme wrestling. Or
yeah,
something.
It is. ECW. You can't fully find it.
We need to transition in mixed martial arts, man. That's where it's at right now. Anyway, before the commercial break, I said we were going to transition to college basketball. I mentioned phone booths. We'll get there in a second. Let's start off with the Maryland Terrapins, who can't beat anybody good. They can't beat anybody ranked. We love Jordan Williams. We know that. But outside of that, they're a boring, soft team to watch. I said on the 30-something episode, I don't know what episode it was, the last episode of 2010, that this is Gary Williams last year, new AD. Hope to see him go. You can give your analysis of the game. I watched it on and off. I was flipping back and forth different things on TV that day. I didn't watch all, because like I said, Maryland kind of bores me. I love Jordan Williams, but other than that, it's nobody interesting to watch.
I'm very impressed with Jordan Williams. He had 25 and 14 boards in that game, man. When we do our Go Hard in the Paint segment, man, we need to start mentioning him, man, because he definitely goes hard in the paint. But he do, man. He go hard in the paint, man, for real. Walker Flock, I would play it now. But
hopefully the Wizards draft him next
they
year.
They should, man, because he's a beast.
We'll get to NBA later, though.
But, yeah, Maryland choked, man. Flat out, they choked. They was up 12 with 10 minutes left. And Nova went on 19-0 run. And Corey Fisher, the guard, if you don't know the guard from Nova, had like 8 points. I mean, 8 points. 8 of his 17 points within that run. Maryland is showing a knack for not closing out big wins when they have the opportunity to step on that neck and twist it and really do some and really get up there in terms of where they need to be at. Because I remember, I think I was flipping the channel and I saw a presser with Tucker. And Tucker said something interesting. I'm not going to lie, I thought he was right. If Maryland wins these games that they're losing to these top-ranked teams, they could be the top five. I mean, they're in every game. They were in Duke game. They were in the Nova game.
Who said that?
I think it was Tucker.
Chris Tucker? What's his name?
I don't know his full name. I don't even know him.
Like I said, that's just good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know his full name.
He can shoot, though.
Yeah,
Duke,
Tucker.
I know Tucker. I'm saying
for
the listeners, man. Yeah. Maybe Brian Stewart knows who Tucker is. He's a Maryland fan. Only around when it's time to gamble, though. Will Maryland ever be the ranked opponent? They play him so tough.
They have to.
That's Villanova's MO, by the way. They always are down. They end up coming back. They don't always win.
But 19-0 run?
But they'll probably be Duke at home.
A 19-0 run, though? Really? That's wild.
It's Maryland.
Yeah, I know.
Like I said, they'll be Duke at home.
We'll see. I think the ACC, they won't see a lot of ranked teams being in the ACC. Other than Duke, who's a ranked team?
That's what I'm saying. They'll be Duke at home. There's no other opportunity.
You know what? I don't think they'll be the ranked team.
They'll be Duke at home. They always do.
We'll see.
Except for Ghana 60 seconds that year. Let's move on to Georgetown. I can't wait till we start talking more about college basketball so we can expand our conversation. We're keeping it local with Maryland and Georgetown. Yeah. And they're boring teams. Two soft, boring teams that people outside this area don't want to hear about. We apologize to you if you're in Texas, North Carolina, wherever you're listening to.
No, Georgetown's one of the best teams out there in the country. And will be.
How are they still ranked? Whenever North Carolina loses, they go from 19 to 70.
North Carolina doesn't get a quality win.
They beat Kentucky.
One. Georgetown has multiple quality wins. But anyway, let's not get into all that, man.
They beat Rutgers to end their losing streak. They beat Rutgers.
Yeah.
They got, I don't know what the heck you want to call that. Is that a signature win for Georgetown?
That's not a signature win. I mean, but it's a win that can hopefully get them.
Apparently it is.
No.
Because one of the production notes, it says, do you think they can continue the momentum?
That's not
what momentum?
Yeah, I'm winning. If you get momentum of beating a team, once you win a game, it's momentum. Regardless of how you want to spin it, it's momentum.
Oh,
you know what I mean? They beat Rutgers, and now they're up against Seton Hall by one. Hopefully more. But, you know, Georgetown has an opportunity because they are senior late. They are senior heavy in terms of their team, in
terms
of their stars.
They are who we think they are. They're
you
soft.
Know what I mean?
Last week, they got dominated by Pittsburgh. At home.
Yeah.
At home.
That's
if we want to call it that. I always say, and I told you this last week, they need to build an arena somewhere in D.C. I don't know if they can build it on Georgetown campus, but they need a real like college arena where you can get the students in there. The Verizon Center is not a place where you come into, you're intimidated. Although they beat Duke there, it looked good. They all had their gray shirts on. But they need a good, like the Comcast Center is a good college arena where you can be intimidated. Cameron, shall I go on, the Dean Smith Center. Georgetown needs that. The gym, I'm going to call it the gym, that they have on campus is not big enough.
The McDonough?
Yeah, it's not big enough to bring the big teams there. So would you agree with me that the phone booth isn't working?
Well, I mean, as a fan of Georgetown for years, they've always played basically at the Bullets Wizards arena. So they've always played at either, you know, the Capitol Center, MCI, Verizon, whatever you want to call it. They've always played at that venue. So, and it's always been a decent home, a decent advantage for them via, you know, the home crowd support. But I'll say this much. Nowadays, I agree with you, man. I feel like that game against Pitt wasn't any true home court advantage. Was not. So I think, but I wouldn't have it, like you said, I wouldn't have it in a D.C., just like in a flat-out D.C. area, or like an open spot in a D.C. area. I wouldn't do that. I would have it on campus. It would be on campus. That way you get all the students out there to be at the game.
Yeah, tear down all those outlets and stores that people don't even shop at anymore.
Cupcakes.
And build an arena.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Sick of
man.
That crap. Really, I am. Sick of hearing about
but
that.
But I think it's just this team also, man.
No, it's not this team.
I'm going to get the last word.
No, it's not this team. No, I'm a Georgetown fan. I'm going to get the last word. You got the mild word with Atlanta. I'm going to get the last word.
I had the first word
with Atlanta. No, that's first and last. It went that long.
Even with Urban Church, Joey Brown, Mike Churchwell, Let's Go Hoyas, they would smack the floor. They would play good defense. The crowd would get you into it. These dudes don't get up for nothing.
Yes, they do, man. This team is skilled, man.
They need a good gym to play in, man. They lost to Old Dominion at that little gym, McDonough.
Yeah, I know.
So you might know. It might be this team, man.
No, that wasn't this team. That was a couple years ago. So it's not this team.
Let's move on to quick.
Making me mad,
let's
man.
Move on
You're making me mad right now.
On a national scale, Duke is no longer ranked number one. Ohio State is ranked number one, which is nonsense. We saw the number one team demolish Baylor. That might be your last time to beat up on Baylor, as they got a good recruiting class coming in. But we'll get there later on in the year. Hopefully, Alec Kinzel will join us if he listens to the show. Kansas is who I'm speaking of. They are the number one team, in my opinion. But currently, they're ranked number two behind Ohio State. Ohio State, oh, my gosh. What team gets more luckier in the world than Ohio State?
Who does Ohio State even play? Who have they played? I've been trying to figure that out. When I look at the number one team, honestly, in my opinion, in terms of what certain teams have played, I like Pitt. Pitt's beat a lot of good teams. They've beaten Syracuse, UConn, Texas, and Maryland. Even though that same Maryland team isn't ranked, and this Georgetown game is really blowing me right now. But Pitt's played a lot of good teams. And I know West Coast still a fan is probably loving it right now, loving hearing this, if he is listening to us. Pitt's the best team going right now, to me.
Are you kidding me? Historically, Pitt has showed it.
But we're talking about at the moment, though. Let's not go historically. Let's talk about the moment.
All right, way to cut me off. Kansas is the best team, like I said. The Wizards, they won another home game. They still winless on the road. The NBA is next on the Urban Sports Scene. Keep it locked.
What should I do? Should I admit that I've made mistakes? Should I remind you that I've done this before?
Should I give you a history lesson?
What should I do? Should I tell you how much fun we had?
And the number one pick, LeBron James.
So, this went well. Should I really believe I ruined my legacy?
What should I do?
What should I do?
What should I do?
Should I have my tattoo removed? Want to see my shiny new shoes?
Should I just sell shoes?
Shiny new shoes? Or should I tell you I am not a role model? Hi, Chuck. Seriously, what should I do? Should I tell you I'm a championship chaser? Did it for the money? Rings? Should I be who you want me to be? Should I accept my role as a villain? Maybe I should just disappear. Should I stop listening to my friends? They're my friends. Should I try acting?
You just gotta deal with the heat, man. Be patient. After a while, the temperature drops and everything is free and easy.
Should I be writing this down?
Uh-huh.
Should I make you laugh?
Or should I read you a soulful poem? Shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. But still, like air, I'll rise.
Or should we just clear the decks and start over? Coming through here! What should I do? Should I be who you want me to be?
Every day has been the same old thing on my block. The Washington Wizards slipped up a couple weeks ago to the good Miami Heat. They're a good team.
Yeah, they're
finally,
a good team.
Finally, they got a good team at home because they don't win on the road. They defeated Utah 108-101 on yesterday, which was historic. Martin Luther King Day, his memorial is almost done. Downtown D.C., come and visit the Urban Sports Scene once that's finished. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, man, the Wizards were led by Nick Young and John Wall, the backcourt of the future. Young dropped 25. Wall had 19 points and 15 assists. And you know, this actually was a good game for John Wall because he got to go against, you know, one of the best point guards in the NBA. And you know, to have 19 and 15 against Deron Williams, you know, in a showcase of point guards, I mean, that's a great thing for him.
He held his own. He didn't outplay him. But speaking of Nick Young, since Nick Young's stock seems high right now, should the Wizards consider trading him? Which are the rumors around this area right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, man, inside source. Of ours. Exactly. Stated that, you know, Nick Young, they might want to do that because Nick Young might not want to stay under Flip Saunders' regime. So yeah, if Flip Saunders is here next year, Nick Young might want to bounce.
I don't see them being able to get a first round pick for Nick Young. Maybe players in return. At this point, you know, who would it be? It sucks that Carmelo doesn't want to come here. I believe the Wizards could offer them a first round pick, Nick Young and Andre Blatch, and why wouldn't the Nuggets take that? You still got J.R. Smith, you still got Ty Lawson, you have some veterans there in Kenyon Martin, Chauncey Billups. You got a team to build around up in Denver, where you can still be competitive. So I wish the Wizards could get that deal done. Excuse me.
I do the same thing. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, babe. Stutter is in effect.
You know it.
But other than that, Nick Young, where would he go? What could you get for him?
I don't know what you could get for him. I just think that if the Wizards were thinking about doing it, it's retarded to me. I think It's an opportunity to have a point guard for the, a backcourt for the future. You have John Wall, you have Nick Young. These are two young guys. Why not build around that? I don't think it makes any sense. This is why, like I said, this is why the Bullets/Wizards have been a terrible franchise for a while now.
Nah, Ted Leonsis is going to build this team into a winning franchise. They never have played defense since I've known the Wizards. Even with Juwan Howard and Chris Webber in their quote-unquote heyday, one playoff season, you know, the year Gilbert Arenas, the big three, quote-unquote, took them to the playoffs. They had the first-round tees on.
And
no
series.
Defense. They need a defensive team. Nick Young cannot play defense at all. Not like a defense. John Wall is a good defensive player.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of two guys out there that don't play the greatest defense in the world. That's why you have a good defensive three. And, you know, Howard plays good defense when healthy.
The Wizards got too much time on this show. Let's move on to
I totally agree with you.
Let's move on to some good NBA teams. Orlando versus Boston. Boston won 106-109. Is there anything we can take from this game? It's a regular season game. Orlando's getting better and better as the weeks go on.
Oh, for me, you know, I looked at it like, you know, Ray Allen looked good, man. He went 3-for-4 from three. I know me and you always, that dude always annoys us because, you know, against the Lakers series, you know, if he was half of Ray Allen, Boston wins that series hands down, but I don't want to get into that, you know. But the one thing I took out of it is KG, you know, his first game back, I believe, he played like a beast out there. I think he had a key, hit the key still to end the game in that game. And also, you know, I don't know about you. I don't know if you took this out, took out of this in terms of Dwight Howard's play. I always said that he didn't really get better, but he looked better. I mean, the bizarro Superman was like that. Because he's not the real Superman.
The ability is there. The jump shot off the glass.
That was new.
Yeah, but that was just one shot.
That's what it was. One. That's the one. That's the only one I saw.
He always had a spin move. He always had the half hook. He's developing. He pointed at Patrick Ewing after he hit the shot. Like, yeah, look what you
did. That's not.
If he develops that jumper, we know he's gonna be the best player in the league. And Shaq needs to relinquish that nickname. You passed the torch.
Nah, he's Bizarro Superman. That's I'm giving that to him. Dwight Howard's Bizarro Superman. Shaq is the original Superman. You can't. It's a thief. It's just like, you know, it's just like LeBron taking the powder thing by KG. It's a thief.
MJ.
MJ did not
Superman,
do the powder and through the MJ
you,
did not
you,
do that.
Anyway, you're a big fan of Smallville. Superman, we never saw him evolve after he was done saving people.
Yes, that's true.
So
he's about to.
Shaq,
he's still on, though.
That
still
Superman
on.
Tattoo, what is that now?
I don't know.
He's so fat. We never saw Superman become this fat, burly dude. Dwight Howard still looks like Superman.
But the name is still Shaq's. It's Superman. He is the Superman. Dwight Howard is Bizarro. He's Bizarro. He's like the twin.
Anyway.
He's Bizarro.
That's no here nor there. Who was the game more important to, Orlando or Boston?
Well, coming in first, I just think it was Orlando. But now, you know, after having this discussion about Bizarro and things of that sort, I'm going with the Celtics. I think that, you know, The Orlando Magic are a new team. They are a new team with all the trades and everything. And what they showed in Orlando is they can beat that team. They can beat the Celtics and whatnot. So this team here, you know, they need to beat them. They needed to. It's big.
I'm telling you to wrap up because that was kind of long with it. I'm gonna keep it short and simple. It was more important to Boston for the simple fact that Boston last year they rested their players in the regular season so they could get that strong playoff push. It worked. However, they didn't get home court advantage and it cost them at the end. They won home court this year. They need every game. Orlando knows they can beat Boston in Boston. They're younger, they're fresher, they're deeper. I don't think Jermaine O'Neal and Shaq gives you depth. I'm sorry.
It does, but
they're
old. It does.
We'll move on. The other game yesterday was the Lakers versus the Oklahoma City
Lakers.
Thunder. The Lakers won 101-94. What's up with you putting the scores backwards on the
It's road home, dog. It's road home. 94 is the road team. 101 is the home team.
101-94.
That's how it's done. That's how it's supposed to be done. That's how you do it.
Anyway,
you're going at me. See, we like friends, but you're going at me right now, and I'm not appreciating this right now.
Hey, 85% of the time I'm right.
Actually, 100% of the time I'm right, and 85% of the time you're wrong.
Hey, play predictions gone wrong, 30th episode.
Yeah, please do that.
That's not 100%.
And that's not me.
Quickly, the Oklahoma City, looking at them, Nick Collison reminds me of Big Baby trying to check the bigger guys for the Lakers. I don't know if they have what it takes to beat the Lakers size-wise. I really don't.
I think that they have the athleticism when they put Ibaka in the game. I think he definitely fights with Pau Gasol, because we all know he's still Pau Gasol. That hasn't changed. And, you know, teams are learning to muscle him, and he's not even as effective when they're muscling him. I think Oklahoma can beat them. I was more annoyed by Jeff Green in that game. As a Georgetown fan, he takes way too many threes. You would think he's a 40% three-point shooter. In hindsight, I think he's like 28 or something. He takes way too many threes. Instead of playing a mid-range game, just shoot the mid-range.
You know, I heard the emphasis he puts in way too many threes. He said that like two or three times. They didn't know you that much?
Yes, it did.
So you want
way too many.
Aren't you a Lakers fan?
No, I'm not. I'm an old Lakers fan. Back when they had Magic and Shaq before Kobe took over. You know what I mean?
When he was actually Superman.
When he's Superman. And still is Superman.
Yeah, whatever. Well, I'm not going to give you a whole lot. The Oklahoma City Thunder have to learn how to win on the road, particularly in L.A. They can win on the road, but they can't win in L.A. They haven't done it in the past X amount of times. I can't give you the stat. Maybe you can look it up after the show. But anyway, it's a question on the production notes. I don't know why it's here. Who at the moment is better, Kevin Durant or Kobe? Obviously, Kobe is better. He's done it longer. He's tougher. I know you're saying who at the moment. Kobe's still doing it. Right now, he's bone on bone in his knee. He still has a busted finger, and he leads his team to victory. Kevin Durant is not as tough as Kobe yet. He does have the work ethic, though. I will give you that. Different type of player. Kobe's better.
I disagree. I think at this point in time in their careers, I think Kevin Durant's a better player. He can score in many ways. He can shoot the J. His first step is explosive. I mean, he can check about three positions. I mean, I think he's just a better player.
Artest and Odom give him problems.
Not really. He gives himself problems. Artest and Odom give him no problems. It's like he's off. When he's off, he's off.
The difference between Kobe and Durant, in my opinion, is Kobe doesn't settle for a jump shot when he's struggling. Durant settles all the time. And you're not paying attention because you're watching the Georgetown game.
Yes, I'm hearing
you. So let's move on.
I'm hearing you.
Cue the music, baby. All right, that's a horrible rendition. Just let the music roll, man. I'm going with DJ Augustine. He's averaged 17 points per game since Paul Silas was hired, dog. The Bob Kittens, as WC Stiller fan calls him. At Chicago tonight, home versus Philly over the weekend, and at home versus Atlanta on Saturday night as well. Those are games where DJ Augustine can put up numbers. Derrick Rose is going to be a rematch of the Final Four a couple years ago, where DJ Augustine still put up numbers, held his own against Derrick Rose. I see the same thing happening. He's going to fry the older Mike Bibby. DJ Augustine, baby, my
Mike
brother.
Bibby is still playing. They need to be playing the dude from Georgia Tech. Oh, it's Wake Forest. He's in the confused. You know what I'm talking about.
You went to Wake Forest, yeah. You compared to Randall Childress.
No, yeah, looking like. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking
What's
about.
What's his name?
Oh, his Dang. Name. That's a good question. Now, let me think about it. Go ahead. Give you a person that's hard to pay, man.
Oh,
we ain't talking about the Hawks right now.
My fault, man. Last week I chose Manny Harris from the Cleveland Cavs. He averaged 10 points a game last week, and including a 14.7 rebound game against the Nuggets. So definitely he did not go hard in the paint. So that one was a scratch. So I'm going with somebody who's retro. This week we're going on Vince Carter. For the Phoenix Suns, if y'all don't know that. In his last three games, he scored 29, 17, and 23. So I'm looking for Vince Sanity to go hard in the paint.
He looks tired right now. Maybe it's the beard to me. That's a good pick, though. Whatever.
You know what
He's
mean?
Always good
I'm
in the
going,
regular
I'm
season.
I'm going retro. I'm going dunk contest, finger in the air, man. T-Mac.
He's always good in the regular season. It is what it is. You can catch the podcast at www.walio.podbean.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. And you can also hit us up at change.da.game6@gmail.com. That's the email address. Please send us your emails, comments, questions. If you like the show, definitely we want to hear some positive feedback, which most of the feedback has been positive so far.
Yes, it has.
You can also catch Fish and Will on the Apple Jesus radio show every Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. They weren't there last Sunday. I don't know what happened. I did listen, though.
Did.
I got through half of the show, and I realized they weren't on there. So I said, I like the Apple Jesus, but I was tired. I went to bed.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
And, you know, it was the holiday coming up the next day. So I went ahead and went to bed. BlogTalkRadio.com/ApplGeeZ. ApplGeeZ. Vivian Cole, shout out to them. I haven't been on the show yet. I'm a little annoyed by that. You know, y'all haven't invited me
yet. I know. I mean, I know y'all love the show. I know. For Ray.
Hopefully this helped my resume tonight, though. You know,
I hope it does.
Trying to hold it down. Hey, Vivian, give me a call, man. Email me. I'll give you my personal email later. Give me a call. you can also catch me and Wally on the Sports Crib every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's a great show.
It is. It's a great show.
BlogTalkRadio.com/WC Still a
fan. You know what? That show has some awesome people from the urban sports scene, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too. I think they hold it down. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead, Ram. I apologize.
Oh, no, I was going to say, look out over time with urban sports, you know, Blog Talk Radio, sometime this year. Me and Wally probably holding it down. We're looking to steal that Thursday night slot. So, Jersey Mike Jr., if y'all listening, man, no offense, man. We love y'all. We enjoy being on the show. And I look forward to coming on and explaining why my Falcons lost again. You know, I get a second time. The wounds, I was going to say the wheels. The wounds have healed already from that game because, you know, like I said, we've been rock bottom before with Vic Petrino. We've been 1-15. You know, it is what it is, man. But look out for me and Wally on the Sports Grid coming up.
I'm going to enjoy being on the show this week because me and Ray picked that Jets thing right, and I like being right. I don't know about Ray, but I love being right.
I'm always right, 85% of the time.
No, you're not. It's okay.
Check out the numbers. Check out Urban Sports Scene Classic on YouTube. See all my predictions.
Gone wrong.
Whatever. Like
Ray
I said,
always makes himself,
85%,
Ray makes himself look correct. All his little skits, he makes himself look always right.
But as usual, man, episode 12, you can check that out on YouTube, or you can look on Podbean. It was a great episode. Me and Wally did it. This was much better. It was much cooler.
yeah, you're right. Seasons, I'm not going to even argue with that. He's right.
So it's been a great show. We look forward to Fish and Will T rejoining us next week. This has been a great show again. Urban Sports Scene, baby.
Yeah.
And 2011, my first show.
And big ups to my kids. You know, y'all failed me last Saturday. We're going to do it again this Saturday. Hopefully we win Green Belt 13 and under, Rosa Championship.
All right, hit the T.I. music, man. We're ready to hit the road. We look forward to seeing you next week. Urban Sports Scene. Peace.
I have a dream. Stacks of moon and I'm in your town. Just some shake a booty, old world,